Hi, this is Kalina.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome to
Bigger Than Love.
Hi, so we're so glad you're here. I'm Kalina.
I'm Gabe.
And this is Bigger Than Love, our strange little audio corner of the universe. We're in Gabe's, what he calls his closet.
Definitely an illegal addition added to our home here. I don't know what its intended use was, but it's my little closet full of instruments and where we're making our podcast today. Kalina, what is our intention behind making a podcast?
Well, I think, we're partners in everything, so naturally we would be partners in podcasts, right? We do yoga together and music and yoga together and try to figure out how to be human, which sounds funny, but like I feel like a lot of the time that we spend together, we're just talking about like why life is so lifing, like all the time. So for me, I felt like it would be cool to answer a lot of the questions that students have that are really good questions that we just don't have time to really cover in a 60-minute class format. And I just want to point out that, like, we're not doing this podcast because we have anything figured out. It's because we don't. And because we wanted to share real stuff, like music and yoga and honest conversations and weirdness. And maybe, if Gabe's willing, some magical musical moments along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, making music, quite frankly, is easier for me than talking. It's not only, you know, been my whole life, but also now it's, you know, it's been my job for a long time as well. That, as funny as it sounds, like talking with my hands comes more naturally than being on mic. So for me, in this moment, the podcast is very exciting and totally new.
Yeah, so you like weird silence? Like you're okay with just like weird stretches of time where there's nothing?
Without a doubt. Well, I mean, without being too just as important as sound is the absence of sound. And so much of making music is like the when of music, like when a sound occurs or when there is no sound. This, you know, the length of a note, the space between notes.
Very poetic. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast because I'm really lucky that I get to talk to you all the time, like all day. And I feel like a lot of our community don't really know how special you are. Like, you have a lot to offer. So I'm glad that you're willing to do the podcast with me and give me someone to look at while I talk. So this is a new beginning for us too. And, we thought that it would be cool, since this is the first episode, to share our story of how we met and how we even got to this place where we would do a podcast. So I wanted to ask Gabe to share, what was going on in your life before you met me? Like what kind of vibe, what was going on in your world? Like, what did a day in Jabril / Gabe's life look like?
A day in the life of Jabril?
Yeah.
Let's see. Before you and I met, you know, nowadays, for instance, much of my life is here in town, whether it's accompanying you, whether it's working here in the little closet. But at that time, there was a pretty good chunk of touring happening, which is ultimately how you and I met. But leading up to us meeting, I was on tour quite a bit with the Hayden triplets, which are the late Charlie Hayden's daughters. They're amazing singers. And Charlie Hayden also was a hero of mine. So there were long stretches of time in which, leading up to when you and I met, that I was on tour with them.
Before I met you, like let's say the day before I met you, I had just moved to a new city and I'm even kind of embarrassed to admit this, but my life kind of looked exactly like it does now. I was just like teaching class and my whole world revolved around at that time just teaching classes and then getting to know the new community in the town I was living in. So I definitely did not have anything interesting going on at that time. So yeah, were you looking for love?
Love.
It's okay if the answer is no.
I mean, I don't, since the podcast is, you know, something bigger than love, I don't even know truly what I was looking for at that time.
Yeah.
I had a number of like situationships, which I think the kids call
mysterious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the kids, you know, now call it situationships, but I had a number of those. And then I mean, if I'd be totally honest, I kind of had like a, what I would say, like a situationship going on with myself. I mean, I had a lot of different things I was into, a lot of things I would quote unquote like to explore, personally speaking, but they hadn't really like coalesced.
So how did we meet? So I'm going to go first. This is a question we get all the time. Like, I will be in the middle of teaching class and someone will be like, oh, Kalina, how did you and Gabe meet? And everyone's always surprised / not surprised. I don't know which it is, to find out that we actually met at yoga. And I, like I mentioned, I had just started working at this studio and in the new city that I'd moved to. And naturally, the only classes that the studio owner was willing to give me were early morning classes, like really, really early morning classes. And I was there teaching class, and class had already started, for the record. It had been about like 10 minutes into the start of class. And all of a sudden, I hear someone coming down the steps. The studio was in like a basement, and there were steps, and you could hear when someone was entering. And here comes this dude who's dressed in these like jumbo, I don't know how else to describe them other than like jumbo basketball shorts. They were like these gray do you remember?
Yeah, huge basketball shorts.
Yeah, these huge basketball shorts that were way too big, but a shirt that was very tight, like a white shirt that was fitted. And I was like, who is this character? And you said, am I too late? And you had the biggest smile on your face that I couldn't resist. I just let you in because you had already missed the warm-up, but I couldn't tell you no. What do you remember about that? Do you remember the outfit that you were wearing?
I do. Well, okay. I think that I had, I thought that I had pants over the shorts.
I don't remember the pants. I remember the shorts because I was watching you throughout the practice and being like, why is he wearing these shorts? Like among the other really funny things about you really not being that like flexible when I first met you. And also want to point out that you were kind of laughing throughout parts of the class, which I'll let you share why that is, but you were kind of hard not to notice. So I remember the whole thing.
So I remember going to LAX to fly to Durham to play the Art of Cool Festival, which was their first, I feel like it was like R&B jazz festival. And the promoter put the drummer and I, one of my oldest friends, Gene Coy, on a red eye. And we took a red eye from LA to Durham. And I remember getting in, there was a car picked us up and we're going to the hotel. And I remember saying to Gene, I'm going to go to a yoga class. Do you want to come? And I remember him looking at me dead in the eye and going, I'm going to go do some pillow yoga. And,
which kind of sounds like something you would say.
I know, right? Totally. And I went to the first class I could find, and Kalina was the teacher. And I remember going down the steps to the studio, which I don't believe exists no longer. And when Kalina says that I was laughing, I remember in part like there being two people in this class. So it was just three people. And Kalina was so motivational. The music was like super emotive, like explosions in the sky. And now I've come to find that Kalina really likes Friday Night Lights, which has the same music.
So that's a great show, for the record, if you've never seen it.
So it was effectively the score to Friday Night Lights. And Kalina was like kind of doing sort of like a Tony Robbins sort of inspired sermon. And I just remember laughing in part because it was like, you know, three people, none of us have a very good warrior too. And you were like, thank you for spending your series of nows with me. Like a series of now that make up the present moment. Thank you for spending your series of nows with me.
Sounds like an awesome class. I don't know.
It was really funny. And also, just to backtrack for a second, you know, it's interesting how, at least for me, it's been my experience that, like, you know, as Bob Dylan would say, or our friend Leslie Feist would say, like, you know, I contain multitudes, which is interesting because, like, looking back, I feel like there's more than one of me walking around at the same time. Because unbeknownst to my current self, few weeks before you and I met, I had found this Barnes & Noble gift card.
Oh yeah, the gift card, yeah.
I had a really random amount on it, like $4.68 or something. And I went on barnesandnoble.com, and I feel like the only thing that was available for purchase was a travel yoga mat.
Which in reality, as someone who saw the mat, it was actually a towel. It was like a sticky towel.
Yeah,
it was a sticky mat towel.
So I got a sticky mat towel. And then again, I know I've taken a screenshot of it and we've looked at it together. But like, for whatever reason, I never did this before. But the days leading up to coming to Durham, I had like looked at every yoga studio in Durham, North Carolina.
And there are many.
In like a, you know, quarter mile radius from the hotel I was staying at, from Duke Towers. Shout out to Duke Towers.
Duke Towers.
Yeah, DT. I had looked at all the yoga studios in a quarter mile radius, and I just by chance, I had mapped out like I was coming to see you.
Yeah, I remember after class you carried my mat for me back to my car. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't remember much about the conversation other than it being quite casual and. Us exchanging numbers, and you said that you'd reach out. You were asking about, it wasn't even reference to like doing more yoga or even your show that you, it was more in reference to wanting to go swimming. Do you remember like you wanted to go swimming? You wanted to find like a swimming hole?
Okay, yeah.
I vaguely
remember that.
You know what?
I do. I remember you also kind of like acting like you knew where ones were, but like you had just gotten there. You're like, oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know if I remember acting like I knew where they were. I think what you might have sensed from me and you know now is like I'm not a really big swimmer.
You mean
because
big
it's not
swimmer
hard.
Meaning like you don't swim at all.
Yeah. I mean, I knew where some swimming locations were. I grew up around there. It's not like I didn't know, like, or that we couldn't have found one. It's more of just like, I didn't want to tell you, like, when I first met you, I don't swim. Or to be 100% like honest, I don't want to say that I don't know how to swim. It's just not my strongest sport or skill.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not. And I remember you. I remember one of the first texts. I don't know if it was the very first, but I remember one of the first texts that you sent me, which I guess you could say was enough to spark my interest in you, was this. It was like a picture of you morphed into a dog or something like that. It was like a hybrid photo.
That wasn't me, but that's a good photo of a person. I presume a man's face, like photo moshed. with like a wiener dog face.
So, do you remember what we did on our first date?
Well, of course, we went to Gear Street.
Yeah. Do you remember what you ate?
It's funny because I remember once saying to you something along the lines of like, you know, I was, you know, primarily like a vegetarian, and you were like, on our first date, you ate fried chicken and mac and cheese.
You did. You told me that you were primarily vegetarian, but you did order. You ordered fried chicken.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a metaphor for my entire life.
I mean, I wasn't judging at all because I've never been a vegetarian.
Like,
but
I said, I mean, I contain multitudes, you know. I like say one thing and then somehow I'm like doing the exact opposite.
For sure. Well, I just remember sitting across from you and, well, first when we met, I don't know if you remember this, you asked me to meet you at a coffee shop.
Okay. I do remember that. And someone was playing banjo.
Yeah. And like, you were really into it. Like,
I was watching this guy play banjo. Yeah.
Yeah. You were really, really into it. And I remember thinking, man, this guy has a lot of joy. Like, I just remember, and that was something that was, I don't want to say completely missing in my life, but I had really lost touch with just having a good time. I've always been a pretty serious person, but I was being really serious during that time in my life. I'd been going through a lot, which is enough for something for another episode. But you were so happy, and sitting across from you having the mac and cheese and the chicken, I remember my face hurting from smiling so much. And I don't even remember really what we
I remember listening a lot.
So I was talking.
Yeah, I remember.
That sounds about right. I remember you aren't a vegetarian and I talk a lot. That sounds about right.
So what I remember about our first date was, first of all, I didn't know at the time it was a date.
What did you think it was? Just two people chilling?
Yeah, just two people chilling, I guess.
I didn't really think it was a date either, in all honesty.
I remember doing a lot of listening. I remember you really telling me a lot about your life. And we were sitting outside, and then a storm came in. And it was a quintessential kind of Carolina deluge that sort of came out of nowhere. And I remember us running inside. And all I remember truly from that afternoon was the way that you just grabbed me and put your arms around me. And you held me really tight, almost like you were worried the storm was going to like blow you away. And that's one of my first memories, and specifically of our time at our first date.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was not really a first date, but I guess in hindsight, it was. I remember that hug to you, and I remember feeling really close to you and really safe, and that meant and still does mean a lot to me, which is why I agreed, for the record, to come hang out with you at your hotel, which I had never done in my life. Like, I had never accepted an invitation to someone's place. Like, I have always been a serial kind of, like, well, I had been married before. I mean, like, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with, like, meeting people randomly and then just meeting up or going to their place or whatever. And I don't know why I was like, oh, this sounds like a great idea. Like, go hang out with this dude. But I remember coming and meeting you, I guess, after a rehearsal or something that you had, which we can talk about in a minute. I really want to share how it felt to see you perform, because I don't think I really understood why you were there that weekend. But I remember coming over to your place, and I remember you were wearing this shirt, which I don't think we have anymore. I think we got rid of it, but it was it said Farmy on it.
Oh yeah, that was my subtle shirt of resistance, which was like, it looked like the Army logo, but then there was an F in front of it. Farmy.
I remember you were wearing that, and then some other basketball shorts. Like, basketball shorts were obviously the theme that weekend.
My basketball short era.
You were definitely in your basketball short era. But I remember coming over, and you asking me if I wanted to help you pick out some harem pants on eBay.
Some like MC Hammer pants?
Yeah, like some MC Hammer like pants. And I remember we did that like for like for a while, like for like 30 minutes. We're just scrolling, which kind of is exactly what we do now.
Pretty much.
And I was like, oh, not those or these. And like we were ranting about like secondhand items or whatever. And I really felt like I was starting to get to know you. I remember laughing really hard. And then I remember at some point the conversation shifting into something I still remember now, which is a conversation we were having about relationships and about love. And you sharing with me that you wanted to be the bridge to love, or that you were on a journey over a bridge to love, or something to that effect. And I remember thinking that that was the most beautiful thing that I had ever heard. And at that time and before then, like for a majority of my adult life, I had felt like I had been on a similar journey of looking for something bigger than love, like, or to cross the bridge to something bigger than love, that something that was more than just a word that you say, or but a deep devotion, something that went beyond what you think love is, you know, and even something that I hadn't seen. And I feel like, oh my gosh, this human that I'm talking to, like, is saying and putting something into words that at that point I had never heard anyone else ever say. And that made a really huge impact on me, and it really stuck with me. It's almost like from that moment forward, I couldn't not want to know you. And it's the truth. Like, I wanted to hear everything that you had to say. I felt like I had known you. And it didn't even really feel like romantic at first. I mean, I don't know if you felt, I mean, actually, I do know that you've expressed that in your own words. Like, it didn't feel like what I thought falling in love with someone would feel like. There was no falling. It was just like, immediately, I'm in love with this person. I want to know everything about this person. I want to hear about their past, you know, their present. I want to hear about what they want for the future. And it was the most intimate conversation I had had in my adult life. Even though we were laughing quite a bit, and there was like, I remember I brought sweet tarts.
Remember eating some candy, yeah.
And which I don't think I've still to this day ever seen you eat so much candy. You had a lot of candy that evening.
Really?
Well, you just kept... Well, you were on a roll. Like, you were making me laugh. And I think you were just popping the candy.
Popping some
Smarties.
It
sounds like a wild night, too. No alcohol. Who needs alcohol and drugs when you can have sweet tarts? And for the record, they weren't regular sweet tarts. They were the Easter ones. The egg, the bunnies, and the chicks, and the ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Special edition.
Yeah,
special edition. So I remember that. And I remember having just feelings that they're really hard to describe. I mean, I guess you could describe them as love, but I think that it's kind of something beyond words. Invited me to come to your show, and I remember coming to the show, and I don't know if I ever even told you this, we took our first picture in the lobby.
I remember that
we still have, and if I can find it, I can post it on our socials.
I have it.
We took a photo, and I didn't know, I had no idea what I was coming to see. You know, up until I met you, like, all my experiences with quote-unquote artists, musicians, like, you know, you would go see them play at, like, a bar or something like that, or, like a garage. I don't know, like, if that. And, like, I didn't really have high hopes. Like, I guess in the back of my head, if I can admit it now because we're married and obviously madly in love, but at that time I was like, what am I about to see? And then I come to the theater and it's packed, like it's full, and I'm like, oh, okay, like this is a legit
performance.
This is legit it's a legit performance. Unlike my three-person yoga class that you came to. And I remember being pleasantly surprised at how beautiful the show was, and watching you play, and I was like obviously an immediate fan of yours. It was just like a whole different experience, and seeing your talent was really, really cool. And I'm not the biggest fan of jazz, which again, we can talk more about in another episode. I won't say that I don't like jazz, but like it wasn't a genre of music that I listen mm-hmm. to often. But I remember watching you on stage, and I still feel this way when I see you play, but it felt like the upright bass was just like, or the bass, everything was like part of your body. Like uh-huh. it was like there was no separation. And I remember thinking, oh, wonder what that feels like to just like be able to play like that. I still think that when I see you play really anything, it just felt like I was watching someone do exactly what they were supposed to do. And really, it just made me want to get to know you more. And yeah, I guess you could say I was your fan immediately. Yeah. And then I remember after the show, you got to meet Juice, who became like your ride or die after that.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us, but he was definitely part of our origin story.
No doubt.
Immediately best friends with you. He was like your biggest fan too. And yeah, I also remember what it felt like when you left, like the day that you left and you came back to L.A., and I was like, am I ever going to see or hear from this guy again? And I remember you texting me a message. It was a very short message. And you're like, I'm at the farmer's market. Back to being vegetarian, obviously.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm at the farmer's market, and I wish you were here so we could hold hands. That's and sweet. I remember that was like the best text that I ever got. Like I felt like a schoolgirl, like, and I had never really felt like that like ever really in my life, like giddy. I felt really giddy, and I wanted to feel that more. Yeah.
What's a word bigger than love? In this moment, I feel like life is a word bigger than love, because being alive like can contain so many different things, including love, that life can be almost like a container for the experience and the feeling of love.
What do you think surprised you the most about meeting me at that point in your life? Because I definitely felt like I came as a surprise to you, and actually kind of for a while, like be like a few years. I feel like sometimes you would just wake up and you're like, whoa, like she's here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking back, I couldn't envision anything else for my life.
Mm.
I didn't, I wasn't really living with a vision of the future, so to speak. Like, I just assumed, you know, I go and I play a show, I travel somewhere, or I meet somebody, or like, I don't know. I don't think I could ever envision living anywhere else in my little shoebox, you know, crash pad. I couldn't really envision doing anything more than maybe just like playing music, where like now I would consider myself to have other interests that are running alongside music as a career and just music as an identity and as a lifeblood. And so, yeah, I think it definitely, like, you know, I wouldn't say you snuck up on me in a physical sense. It's like, I think just what your presence called forth definitely like snuck up on me.
Mm. Early on in our relationship, when I came to visit you, you said that we were going to go on an adventure, and we started driving out into the desert, and I'd never been to the desert before that I could remember. And on top of the really good conversations we were having, sharing about like our families and our lives to that point, we start heading out into what felt like Mars. Like, uh-huh. I remember, and for those of you who haven't been out in the desert towards, like, if you're going to Vegas, we went, Gabe took me to this town, Tecopa.
Yeah, halfway to Vegas is a town called Baker. And you get off at Baker, and there's a Greek restaurant there called the Mad Greek. No disrespect, but they changed ownership, and I don't feel like it's really is popping anymore. But it used to be, you know, you used to get some falafels on the road. And right there on the corner of where the Mad Greek sits, you make a left, and you just head out into Death Valley, into the nothingness. And you just go straight for probably like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you make a right towards this town, Tecopa, which is a tiny little town sitting on top of a huge desert hot springs.
Yeah. So what I remember about that is showing up at this, you know, Airbnb, which this was back when Airbnb first started. I don't know how long it had been a thing, but I know
It was my first time using Airbnb, and it turned out to be our host's first time using Airbnb. Yeah. Because you ended up cooking for them too, which yeah, was an interesting reversal of roles.
It was a fun, that's a story for another time too, but it was a fun hang. But what I wanted to highlight was pulling up to this magical place of just where there's just nothing, no cell service, no Wi-Fi, just desert, and staring off into the sunset, and you just holding my hand, and me feeling like you had taken me to the most magical place in the world. And I would have never picked that for myself. I would never pick off the grid. And still to this day, like, it's questionable on whether I would pick not off the grid.
Was a desert lighthouse. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, so whoever, the host, Justin Blake, I think it was maybe his uncle, or maybe it wasn't even a blood relation, but like whoever owned that property before it was bestowed to him was, had built a boat and a lighthouse, but it was incomplete. It was just like looking over a complete like desert salt flat. Yeah, that was
super
amazing.
It was super magical. I just remember thinking to myself and feeling that you knew me like you, maybe even better than I knew myself. I remember it was very magical. I mean, you're magical, so of course the trip was magical, but I just felt very, I remember feeling very seen and not wanting to leave, really. So just as much as being seen is also, I feel like our listeners might be curious about what some of the challenges were when we first got together. And maybe even like being long distance at first, or some of the challenges when we moved in together. We weren't long distance that long before.
No, I mean, I think that like the biggest challenge for me was that truly I couldn't really see a life for myself beyond what I was already doing. If I'm really honest, like, even though I've always been hashtag blessed, you know, to be a professional musician really since I was like 14 years old, I couldn't really see anything beyond that. And now looking back, from where we are right now, our first episode of a podcast, I never, you know, thought I would be doing any of the things that I'm doing, whether it's work-related, whether it's interpersonally, or truly, like, whether it's personal. And I know it can be sort of, it can be corny to say this, but, like, I've heard it said before that intimacy stands for into me, you see. Mm. And I would take that even further, which would be, like, you know, into me, you see me looking at myself, you know, into me, like, you know, you see me, thereby like hopefully like giving someone the opportunity and or the inner resources to like really take a look at yourself. And it really wasn't until like well into you and I living together that I really felt like there were things that I wanted to change. Like where I lived when you and I met, it had served me so well at a time when it was all I could afford. However, there was a time when you and I both started working in a greater capacity and we started to have more worldly success, and yet we still stayed there for a period in time. And there was no fiscal reason, you know, to stay there. But there was some reason that I felt tethered to it. And there's something interesting about when you move, that like you have to put your hands on everything you own, which is an interesting way of like, just as I live my life like through my hands and really like spend most of my life talking through my hands, like you have to like, you take stock of your life like with your hands. And I don't think I envisioned anything beyond that. And it's interesting is like, you know, at first I would say lovingly, you were like, hey, what about like a better place that wasn't falling apart, or, you know, all kinds of other stuff.
Bigger,
yeah. Or just bigger. All kinds of stuff that was happening there or didn't happen there that were like, you know, in our way, literally and figuratively. And, you know, first lovingly, and then later on a bit more, you know, with more spirit, let's say. You know, I don't think I truly like envisioned more for myself. And, you know, something that was said to me that is kind of a vulnerable thing to say on our first podcast, but it's true, is like, something was said to me is that some babies are born like just fully in this world. And then some babies are born with like 1 foot like in this world and 1 foot like not in this world. That's really who I am. Like I'm only like, you know, I have that sticker that's like the alien, you know, or the flying saucer that says just visiting this planet.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that's very much like true for me. And I don't think like had you and I ever gotten together, like I don't know where like my life really would have gone.
I think that that's, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable. I think that's also what makes you so special and makes you, and again, we have more podcasts to come, more episodes to come, but I also think that that being kind of half here, half not is what makes you so creative and makes your music sound so cool, and like your creativity is so vast is because you're able to toggle, you know, versus, you know, someone like me that's like very literal, you know. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Thank you for sharing. So music was a big part of how we met, and it's a big part of how we continue to move through our life together. Yoga was a big part of how we met. And still to this day, music and yoga is what we do every single day, and it's part of what makes up our language that's bigger than love. It's what this podcast is going to be about. And we hope that you eventually feel safe and connected to us and want to share what your stories and words that are bigger than love are. This podcast is really for anybody who wants to feel a little bit more connected, maybe wants to learn a little bit more about music and yoga and mindfulness practices. And you can expect a lot of fun topics, weirdness, and storytelling. Gabe and I both are big storytellers. And anything else you want to say to like wrap up episode one? I mean, we could have went on and on about when we first met, but I think that was, you know.
That was good. I mean, I would just say all my gratitude to Kalina, who's a natural born leader. And it's really a privilege to be your ride along.
I'm super excited. So all of you that are listening, all 1, 2, 3, 4 of you, we really appreciate you taking the time and letting us be a part of your day. You can follow us on social media and subscribe. You could also, if you want to send us a little voice note or an email, or maybe you have an idea for an episode or a topic that you'd like to learn more about, you can contact us at contact@biggerthanlove.com. And we will both answer those emails and be on top of it. But until next time,
three P's. It's a third more piece.